Christine Barnett's son, Jacob, has an IQ higher than Einstein's. At age 2, experts said he would never be able to tie his own shoes. At age 9, he started working on an original theory in astrophysics that experts believe may someday put him in line for a Nobel Prize. He presently is pursuing a PhD in physics at the age of 14. The Spark is a new book and a powerful story of one mother's love and her stubborn refusal to give up on her child. It is a great pleasure to welcome Christine Barnett to the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
Well, thank you so much for having me on the show today.
A delight to have you. Again, the name of the book is The Spark, A Mother's Story of Nurturing Genius. At what point did you realize that you were indeed nurturing genius?
Well, you know what's funny is when Jacob was a very young child, back when he was still talking to us, still looking us in the eyes, before he really fell into this dark world of autism, at that point, there were these little highlights, things that he did that I saw that were remarkable. He was able to recite the alphabet forwards and backwards when he was 1 year old. He was able to play music by ear from a little toy piano in a music store by our house. So he was doing remarkable things as a baby, but then when he was 2 years old, Jacob was diagnosed with moderate to severe autism. He stopped talking, he stopped looking us in the eyes, and we were told at that time by experts that the most we should expect for him was just life skills, things like buttoning his coat and tying his shoes, and to worry about what to do when we were gone someday. To worry about what he would be like as an adult and what support he would need to live.
When you have that kind of diagnosis and that is told to you, I'm curious because you get this idea in the book that you learned what was possible for him through him, in the sense of you were not introducing him to things. He was just sort of naturally moving from one thing to another and mastering things like calculus in a matter of weeks.
Right. Well, you know what's funny is the surprise about my story is that what I found out worked for Jacob actually works for every child. I was running a little daycare at the time that I was working with Jacob, and I applied some of these principles to all of the children. And so in a sense, I actually have more experience with typical children than I do with, you know, with Jacob, who is a prodigy. But every single time in every single child that I worked with, I saw them do something amazing. And it's all very simple. The key is in how children learn. The key is just a shift from focusing on what children can't do to what they love and what their innate gifts and talents are. So it's not just Jacob's story. It's actually a story that is about all of our children and the brilliant potential that occurs in each of them.
So what do you feel you were able to give Jacob and these other children that put them at an advantage?
Well, what saved my son when he was deep in this world of autism was to stop focusing on the things that were difficult for him and the things that he was struggling with. He was enrolled in a very intensive therapy program where he had over 40 hours a week of therapy. He had a therapy team consisting of an occupational therapist, a physical therapist, a developmental pediatrician, a speech therapist. These were just maybe not even a third of the team of people who were working with him at the time. And all of the people who were working with him had this checklist of skills. And it was a checklist of things like looking people in the eye, small motor skills like stacking rings, large motor skills like putting one foot in the front of the other, going up a set of stairs. And with their focus on all of these things that were difficult for Jacob, taking up so much of his day, what I realized was the things that Jacob was actually good at, the things that I had seen in him before he disappeared into that world of autism, things like the alphabet, they were being completely ignored. And what I think is very important and why I'm so glad you have me on the show today is I think we're doing this to our children. all of our children. And I think we worry about what is the future of the children in our country. We compare their test scores to other children in other countries, and we worry that they might be lagging behind. And I feel like there is a brilliant potential in our children, and we are doing exactly what we were what the therapists were doing with my child in a special ed setting. We're doing that to all of the children in our school system. We're giving them a checklist every year, a checklist of things they need to do, a checklist of their math skills, a checklist of their reading skills. And what we're failing to do is believe in the things that they are each brilliant at, the things they were doing as a young child, like taking apart the backs of their TVs as little boys with screwdrivers, little girls going off to daycare and telling brilliant magical stories. We're not focusing on that. We're just focusing on things that I think are not reflecting the true potential within each of our children.
So when you look at Jacob now, and as I mentioned, presently pursuing a PhD in physics, he's 14 years old. Do you still label him as an autistic child?
Well, you know, Jacob has struggled with autism throughout his life. And the remarkable thing about Jacob is he is able to take that label and just shatter it. And I think that the danger when we put a label on any person is that it will set a ceiling for what they're able to do. So Jacob has definitely exceeded anybody, even world experts' opinions of what a person with autism should be able to achieve. However, he still faces that disorder every day. He has a lot of trouble with, for example, the lights in the classroom he's in. If it's a cloudy day, the way that reflections bounce off of things, his senses don't process things the way that other people's do. So the courageous thing about Jacob is that he still does face autism every day, and he overcomes it every day.
And what you're saying is that while that exists, you still have to take what he is able to accomplish and harness that energy and that spectacular skill and use it for to the advantage of not only him, but for us as a culture.
Yeah, I think that the autism is not in the forefront anymore. The label of autism is not what people think of when they think of Jacob. They think of this brilliant scientist. He's the world's youngest published astrophysics researcher. His work's in the Smithsonian and NASA. People don't look at him and just only see autism anymore. And that's so important for people, all people who have autism or any type of developmental disorder, to not allow that label to define who they are and become this overwhelming thing that sort of tells you what your potential as a person is. And then further, for all of us, we cannot let our fears about our children define our children. You know, we need to start believing in these teachers who have gone to school and who have educated themselves. We, instead of giving them this little checklist every year and saying, this is our only expectations for our children. And I say our only expectations, because we think, oh, by doing this, we're going to make sure that everybody meets everything. Everybody's going to be a little bit good at everything. And nobody's going to be great at any one thing. And we're not letting our teachers be great at what they are capable of. We're not believing in them as professionals. And we're losing hope, much like I lost hope for my child when he was a little boy under the autism diagnosis. We're losing hope for our children and for our country's future.
And
we don't have to.
You end the book by quoting one of Jacob's physics professors, who says he can do anything he wants, and that's the takeaway really from the book, right? That anything he wants to do, he can do.
Yes. I mean, it's so simple. I want people to go out and get the book and read it, and you don't have to be wealthy. You don't have to pay special tutors. You don't have to do, you know, intensive programs or take classes. I want people to go and just kind of get this little shift, a little change in how we look at things. That's all it takes. It's very simple, and it can really change the potential for each of our children. I want a world where people are not just looking at Jacob as a child who's loving and doing math and physics, but we're looking at our culture as full of children who are each able, not maybe to necessarily rise to the level of prodigy, but each able to make unique and wonderful contributions to the world of math and science and art. And I think by doing what we love, that's the key.
The name of the book is The Spark, A Mother's Story of Nurturing Genius. It is published by Random House. Christine Barnett, I thank you very much for spending time with us.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Thank you. Again, the title of the book is The Spark. It's published by Random House. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.